for tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2019 Midwinter Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, Sunday afternoon, December the 29th, 2019. Colonel Williams is the speaker of the afternoon, teaching on the Donald Trump Syndrome.
Well, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
How many of you have been blessed by hearing the word?
Yes.
Amen. Brother Randy, Sister Deborah, Sister Jerry. I was blessed. I was truly blessed by what I heard. How many of you believe that when you leave the camp that you're going to be changed? Okay, let's mean it from my heart. Come on. How many of you believe that when you leave this camp, there's going to be a transformation that's going to take place?
Amen.
All right, so give Jesus a praise, man. All right. Oh, please stand with me. I know you've been standing since you've been here, but it's okay. A little exercise for you. Many of you familiar with Job chapter 22, verse 28. Thou shalt decree a thing and shall what? Come to pass. All right, let's shift the atmosphere again. Everybody ready? Through the blood of Jesus, I am redeemed out of the hand of the devil.
Through the blood of Jesus,
all my sins are forgiven.
The blood of Jesus Christ,
God's Son,
is cleansing me now.
Through the blood of Jesus, I'm
made righteous.
I'm justified
as if I never sinned.
Through the blood of Jesus,
I'm sanctified,
I'm holy,
and I'm set apart.
My body is the temple of the Holy Spirit,
redeemed
and cleansed
through the blood of Jesus.
Satan,
you have no place,
no power over me. Through the blood of Jesus Christ
and through the word of God,
I decree and declare this
in Jesus Christ's name.
All right, give the Lord a praise.
You may be seated.
Giving honor to God, who's the head of all our lives, and to His Son, Jesus Christ, the precious Holy Spirit, whom we love and we adore. God bless the Director Merrill and Kevin of the staff of Five-Fold Ministry of Grace Giftings that's in the body of Christ. God bless you. And God bless the visitors that have come at Lake Hamilton Bible Class. God bless you in Jesus' name. In Malachi chapter 2, verse 2, it says something very awesome. In Malachi chapter 2, verse 2, it says, the Lord is saying to the priests, and the priest represents the leadership, and they represent the ministers. The Lord is saying, if you fail to give me glory, then I will send a curse. If you read that verse, it says in Malachi 2 and 2, if you fail to give God glory, you priests, you leaders, you ministers, you fail to give Him the glory, then He talks about a curse that's activated. Okay? Before we get started, I want to say to all of you, even right there while you're seated, just wave your hands to heaven and give God the glory. We give you the glory. We magnify you. We exalt you. We worship you. We praise you. We sanctify you with our lips. Our heart, our spirit cries out unto you. You Almighty God, you Jehovah Shammah. And we worship you today in Jesus Christ's name. How many of you know that Jesus Christ is the firstborn and the first begotten of the dead? Before we start anything, we need to recognize His preeminence. Is that correct? Well, let's recognize the preeminence of Jesus. Jesus, you're first in our lives. You are the firstborn. Jesus, all things center around you. You are the nucleus of the circle. Jesus is my Lord. Jesus, we worship you. Jesus, we bless you. Jesus, we love you. One more time for Jesus. Give Jesus a praise. All right. How many of you are ready to be blessed? Amen. Well, let's talk. I had a dream. Acts chapter 2 talks about your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, and your old men like me shall dream dreams. Prophetic move of God in these end times. I had a dream of a hydra. The hydra is a nine-headed serpent, serpent dragon, a serpentine water monster, a water spirit. And what I saw about the hydra with the nine heads, it was moving through the Senate and Congress of the White House at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. How many of you know the history of the hydra? When one head is cut off, it grows two more heads in its place. How many of you are listening to me?
Amen.
And I saw this hydra moving through the White House, and that tells me that there is intense warfare in the White House. How many of you believe that?
Amen.
Many of you are familiar with Ephesians 6 and 12. Let's turn there. Turn to the book of Ephesians. Let's look at chapter 6. Let's look at verse 12. Ephesians chapter 6. Let's look at verse 12. I like to repeat myself. It's not that you can't get it, but I like to, for somebody who might have missed the scripture, here it is again. Okay? In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, it says in the Amplified reads it very beautifully. For we are not wrestling with flesh and blood, contending only with physical opponents, but against the despotisms, against the powers, against the master spirits. Look at what it says, master spirits, who are the world rulers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly supernatural sphere. Whether you believe it or not, or whether you even care, the White House is under intense spiritual warfare.
Amen.
I want to use as a subject, and it's going to be a blessing to many, and it's going to baffle others. I want to use as a subject Trump derangement syndrome. Very interesting. Is that right? Let me give you the subject again. It's called what? Trump derangement syndrome. And I want you to know that the psychiatric profession has now documented Trump derangement syndrome as a mental disorder. And there is a manual out, and the manual is DSM-5, that Trump derangement syndrome is a mental disorder that's affecting believers, supporters, and Republicans. Everybody with me there? That's affecting, according to the psychiatric profession, it's affecting believers, supporters, and what? Republicans. Now, let me give you some definitions of Trump derangement syndrome. The Urban Dictionary calls it TDS. Trump derangement syndrome is a mental disorder to which a person has been driven insane due to his or her love or lack for President Donald J. Trump. In other words, if you're a supporter, you're a Republican, you're a believer, you like or you love President Donald Trump, then you have a mental disorder called what? TDS. Look at someone and say, I don't have TDS. That's not me. So the medical profession says that TDS is not treatable in their prognosis. Well, my answer to the medical profession with their prognosis, Jesus can treat anything.
Amen.
Is that right? How many of you believe that?
Amen.
Jesus, Yeshua HaMashiach, he can treat anything, even in the area of medical disorders. All right. I read an article in Psychology Today, and I really don't like psychology, or do I believe in psychology? I believe in the Word of God. But I read an article in Psychology Today by Rob Whitley, Ph.D. Listen to what he says. He says 70,000 mental health professionals have signed a petition that President Donald J. Trump is mentally ill. And supporters and Republicans and believers are also mentally ill. And they say in their psychiatric document that the supporters and Republicans and believers who like and love Donald Trump, they said that you have a medical gaze. A medical gaze or a medical stare. I remember in Vietnam when I was a young man, if you had been in heavy combat, then you would have what we call the 1,000-yard stare. But the psychiatric profession says that if you're a supporter or a Republican or a believer of Donald Trump, you have a medical gaze. Well, the only answer that I can give to that is the only person that I know with a medical gaze or stare is Adam Schiff. That's right, brother, which is a liar as well as what? A deceiver. Let me give you another definition. DrHurd.com, H-U-R-D.com, he gives a reversal of TDS. He says that TDS is a hatred for Donald Trump. He says it's an irrational fear for President Donald Trump. He says it's total dehumanization, it's total demonization of President Donald Trump. He said this also. He said that TDS could be negative, a negative spiritual reaction to Donald Trump. Well, I don't know about many of you, but if you try to talk politics with some people, the word Donald Trump carries a trigger. And if you want to see a manifestation of demons, or if you want to see a negative reaction, go out here in the world and tell everybody about pray for President Donald Trump and watch what happens. They will start manifesting. What is it about the president? What is it about his name that triggers our society? How many of you listening to me? Why is there so much hatred for just one man? Why does the satanic kingdom hate this man? Why does the global elite, the Illuminati, the deep state hate the man? We're going to talk about Brother Colonel, why did you choose Donald Trump? Well, the only answer that I can give to that, he's my brother. Is that right?
That's right.
You hear things going around like this. Donald Trump is not the savior. He's not the king. Well, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to know that Donald Trump is not our savior, but Jesus Christ is our savior and our Lord. And if we look at the scripture in Ephesians 4 and 5, it tells us it's only one Lord, one faith, and one what? Baptism. But that name itself, it triggers demons. I believe by faith, as we go into our study or our teaching, that Donald Trump's assignment is for America. I believe that.
Amen.
I believe there are believers that can't see prophetically. They can't see God's assignment, His purpose, the destiny of America. They can't see the delay that God has given us through His presidency. They can't see that in His presidency we are stepping into the end time harvest. They can't see, and a lot of them don't want to see. All they want to believe is a seething hatred and a serpentine hatred for the man, and they don't realize what's on the inside of them that's triggering it. And let me say something, saints of God. I am running into believers who hate him with a passion. Let's turn to 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Let's look at verses 1 and 3. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Let's look at verse 1 and 3. I'm reading from the Amplified. Verse 1. First of all, then, I admonish and urge that petitions, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be offered on behalf of all men. Look at verse 2. For kings, paraphrasing as leaders, for kings and all who are in positions of authority or high responsibility, that outwardly we may pass a quiet and undisturbed life, an eminently a peaceful one, in all godliness and reverence and seriousness in every way. Now look at verse 3 real closely. For such praying is good and right, and it is pleasing and acceptable to God our Savior. Now, whether you know it or not, as a believer, you're supposed to pray for the leadership. Whether you like President Donald Trump or not, it is acceptable unto the Lord that you begin to pray for his leadership and you begin to pray for his authority and even pray for his assignment, his purpose, and his destiny that God has ordained and given him for America. How many of you know that the Bible says as a believer that we are to operate in love? I hear so much seeds and hatred coming from believers about the man. They never sat down at Wendy's and had an order of fries and a hamburger with him. They've never had a phone conversation with them, but there's something on the inside of them that triggers that name when you say Donald Trump. Let's look at the Word of God. Turn to 1 John chapter 2. That's 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. Let's look at verse 9 and 11. And I think my sister shared it earlier today. Verse 9, whoever says he's in the light and yet hates his brother, Christian, a born-again child of God, his father is in darkness even until now. Look at verse 10 closely. Whoever loves his brother, believer, abide, lives in the light, and in it or in him there is no occasion for stumbling or cause for error of sin. Now look at verse 11 real closely. But he who hates, detests, look at what it says, despises his brother in Christ is in darkness and walking, living in dark. He is straying and does not perceive or know where he is going because darkness has done what? Blinded his eye. Many believers are blinded. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 15, please turn to everybody. I think I know it by heart. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 15. Once again, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 15, the Bible says, he that is spiritual, he that is born again, judgeth all things. He that is spiritual, he that is born again, judgeth all things. But let's look at the Greek word for that. Dokimazo. It means that he that is spiritual examines, tests, discerns, prove all things by the word of God. As a believer, when God position someone in positions of authority, we should do what? We can judge, but that judgment is a discerning judgment, an examining judgment, a testing judgment, a proving judgment by the Word of God. And many believers are quickly coming to the wrong conclusion about who's standing in front of them leading this nation. Let's look at another scripture. Look at 1 John chapter 3, verse 14 and 15. 1 John chapter 3, verse 14 and 15. Verse 14 says, we know that we have passed over out of death into life by the fact that we love the brethren, our fellow Christians. I'm supposed to love you, and you're supposed to love me. Is that correct? He who does not love abides, remains in hell, and kept continually in a spiritual death. Let me be transparent with you. As a young man in the battlefields of Vietnam, I hated the Vietnamese people because what I saw them do in the battlefields of Vietnam, I had a satanic hatred for them. But when I became a believer, I began to realize that hatred resulted in a spiritual death for me. And I want to say to every believer here, if you hate that man, then that is a signal that there's a spiritual death trying to align itself with you. Rather than move to hatred, we should move to love. How many of you are listening to me?
Amen.
We should rather move to what? To love. To love. And that which we don't understand, we should ask God.
Yes.
God, give me wisdom about this man. Give me revelation knowledge about this man. Give me a discerning heart about who's leading this nation. Yes, I am a Trump supporter. He's taken this nation from the outhouse to the White House.
Yes.
From the ghetto to the Gitmo.
Yes.
Yes. I'm going to cover that in a little bit. Hello, saints. Come on, saints. Let's be real with each other. All right. Look at verse 15. Anyone who hates, abominates, detests his brother in Christ is at heart a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding, reversing within him. You hate me? You're a murderer. If I hate you, I'm a murderer. You hate the President of the United States and you're not praying for him, you're manifesting the spirit of murder. All right, let's look at 1 John chapter 4. Let's look at verse 7 and 10. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 and 10. Look what it says in verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another. Let us do what? Love one another, for love is spring from God. And who loves his fellow man is begotten and born of God and is coming progressively to know and understand God, to perceive and recognize and get a better and clearer knowledge of him. Look at verse 8. He who does not love has not become acquainted with God. Now that's self-explanatory. If you don't love, you have not become acquainted with God. Is that right? And it says, does not and never did know him, for God is what? Love. Look at verse 9. In this the love of God was made manifest, displayed, where we are concerned, in that God sent his Son, the only begotten of the unique Son, in the world, so that we might, what? Live through him. Now look at verse 10 real closely. In this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and he sent his Son to be the propitiation, the atoning sacrifice for our sin. As a believer, we're supposed to walk in levels and dimensions of love. God is love. How many of you are listening to me, saints? What's wrong with the world today? There needs to be some love. I know 85-year-old mother, she just makes me tickle. She said, come here, baby, give me some love. I said, come on, granny, I'm going to give you some love. And that just encourages me so when she says things like that to me. Okay? All right, let's move on. Hebrew calendar, we're in the year 5780. On the pagan Gregorian calendar, we're stepping into the year 2020. How many of you know that the pagan calendar that we use is full of gods and goddesses and numbers? All right, we're stepping into the Hebraic calendar. 570 on the Hebraic calendar. Now, let me share this with you. September 29th of this year, we stepped into 5780 on the Hebraic calendar. Are you listening to me? Okay? 5780. Let me give you a breakdown. 5 means grace and what? Favor. 7 means completion of assignment. The number 8 means a new beginning according to Hebraic numbers. Number 8, new beginning. 80 in Hebrew, it means pay, P-E-H, or the word fey, F-E-Y. The number 8, it means pay, P-E-H, or the Hebrew letter fey. So we're going to stand firm and say pay, okay? Pay is the 17th letter on the Hebrew alphabet. The number 17 means what? Victory. Look at someone and say victory.
Victory.
Now, the number 80 means pay, and let me tell you what pay means. Pay is a picture on the Hebrew alphabet. I don't have an illustration here. But it's a picture of the mouth. Okay? It is a picture of the mouth. In other words, it's a Hebrew word for mouth, for speech, as well as what? Breath. Everybody repeat after me. Mouth. Speech. And breath. And pay, you're now moving into a 10-year decade. You're moving into a 10-year season prophetically of the mouth. And I shared something briefly with you last night. Pay is the time that you bring an awareness to your mouth or to what you say out of your mouth. In other words, your inheritance and your blessings will be determined, pay, how you use your speech, how you use your breath, how you use your mouth. How many of you know Proverbs 18 says that life and death is where? Okay, Proverbs 6 and 2. Write this down if you can. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 2 says that you are snared by the words of your mouth. Is that correct? That word snare comes from the Hebrew word yakoshi, and what it means is that you are entrapped, or you are caught, or you are snagged about what you say out of your mouth. Now, let me bless you with something here. The Hebrew calendar is very prophetic, and I believe that many churches are now shifting there. But let me warn you with caution. There are some sites that take the Kabbalah and throw it out the back door because of the Kabbalah is nothing but mysticism. Okay? The pagans are trying to introduce that into the Hebraic calendar. And that's a no-no for you. All right? So September 29th of this year, we stepped into the season of pay. And so we have now witnessed many manifestations of the mouth and of speech and of breath. Now, where am I going with that? If you notice, during the time of September 29th in America with the Trump impeachments, and if you notice in Israel with Benjamin Netanyahu, there's a parallel here. What have we heard? What have you heard since then? Nancy Pelosi's mouth. Maxine Waters' mouth. Adam Shifty Schiff, mouth. Netner's mouth. Kamala Harris, mouth. Cory Booker, blessing, mouth. Ilhan Omar, mouth. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, mouth. Rashid Dalal, mouth, speech, breath. And here's one, Al Green. I'm not talking about the soul singer. Another name they have in Congress, Al Green. All right? So during the whole election process, we have heard impeach, impeach, impeach. We have heard nothing but the mouth. Is that right? Through this whole process, speech and breath and the mouth. Now, what does the Bible say about the mouth? Turn to Proverbs chapter 11, verse 9. The book of Proverbs, just a book of wisdom. I love it so much. Proverbs chapter 11. Let's look at verse 9. In Proverbs chapter 11, verse 9, the Bible says, with his mouth, the godless man destroys his neighbor. This is good. With his mouth, the godless man does what? Destroys his neighbor, but through knowledge and superior discernment shall the righteous be delivered. How many of you know that the godless man can speak curses on his neighbor? All right? Look at Proverbs chapter 13, verse 3. Proverbs 13 and 3. He who guards his mouth keeps his life, but he who opens wide his lips comes to ruin. How many of you know that we are to speak a word in due season? Is that right? Let me tell you something. Even with our mouth, we've got to know when to hold them. Know when to hold them. Is that right? You got to know when to speak a word and do what? In due season. Because the Bible says if you guard your mouth, then you'll keep your life. Then it says if you open your lips wide, you can come to ruin and come to destruction. My mother, she's deceased now, but my mother used to say all the time, she said, baby, a fool is known by many words. Mama don't call nobody a fool. She said, baby, a fool is known by many words. Let's look at Proverbs chapter. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 10, verse 32. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 32. It says, the lips of the uncompromisingly righteous know and therefore utter what is acceptable, but the mouth of the wicked knows and therefore speaks only what is obstinately willful and contrary. In other words, the mouth of the wicked, they're going to say things that's totally contrary. Okay? All right, let's look at, again, Proverbs 12, verse 6. The Bible has a lot to say about the mouth. And remember, we're in the decade of the mouth, according to the Hebraic calendar. Verse 6, the words of the wicked lie in wait for blood, but the mouth of the upright shall deliver them, and the innocent ones thus in danger. We have to know when to speak. We have to know when to be what? Silent. Let me give you one last proverb. Look at Proverbs 15 and 28. Proverbs 15 and 28. Okay, Proverbs 15 28. The mind of the uncompromising righteous studies how to answer, but the mouth of the wicked pours out evil things. The mouth of the wicked does what? Pour out what? Evil things. Let me say that again. The mouth of the wicked pours out evil things. There is a worldwide satanic hatred for President Donald J. Trump. There's a hatred in America for our beloved President Donald J. Trump. He's hated by Satanists. He's hated by Luciferians. And what do you call these people? Reptilians. He's hated by reptilians, okay? All right, space brothers, all right? He's hated by witches and by warlocks and New Agers. He's hated by the Democrats or the demon cats, okay? Hello, saints. He's hated by believers and he's hated by non-believers. That ought to ring a bell to every believer that's discerning. Why does the witches, why does the warlocks, why does the Satanists, why does the reptilians, why does the New Agers, why does the Luciferians hate this one man? That should ring a bell, saints of God. Hatred should not be cause you to be blinded to a spiritual death. You should say to yourself, there's something about that. Maybe God has appointed this man for the destiny of this nation. Maybe we are much closer in Bible prophecy than what we think we are. Satanic rituals are being turned loose against President Trump. Blood sacrifices are being turned loose against Donald Trump. Listen, conjuring up spirits. Satanic rituals, loosing spells around the world, the Wiccans, the New Agers. What it is about the man that God has assigned? What do you hear among many believers? I hate that man. You know, I minister many times in the ghetto, and sometimes I make people upset with me. Brother, I don't know why you like Donald Trump. Or I said, brother, let me explain something to you. You need to come off that mind control plantation that you're on, that hypnosis that you're under, and you need to begin to understand the prophetic and see what God is doing for America and what God is doing in the earth realm. Come on, saints, we have to be righteous of what? Boldness of life. We can't go into these ghetto areas and witness and minister to people unless you have that boldness about you and you're not afraid to tell the truth. Well, brother, you like Donald Trump? Yes. Why? Because I believe his assignment. He's on an assignment for God.
Yes, amen.
He's not Jesus. He's not my king. Yes. Jesus is my Lord and my Savior. He's just the man whom God has purposed for this hour.
Yes. Yes. Right.
What do we hear about the mouth? Remember, Kate, the season of the decade of the mouth when we were in it. All have we been hearing is, and I have a list here, he's an evil man. He's a liar. He's a racist. He's a narcissist. He's narcissistic. He's a womanizer. Well, what else is new? He degrades women. He's abusive. He's an Illuminati deep state glorious elite. Even the Catholic Pope said he's an evil character. I like what President Trump said to the Pope. He said, well, when ISIS attacks the Vatican, you're going to be calling me to send the U.S. Army to help you. What he said to the Pope. Mm-hmm. All right? Hollywood says he's a nightmare and a joke.
Yeah.
Mouth, speech, breath. We're in the season of the mouth. And hear me, saints of God, your inheritance, your decrees and declarations will determine your blessing. But if you use your mouth in this decade, according to the Hebrew calendar, guess what? You're not going to bring blessings upon your life. You're going to bring curses and hindrances. Here's believers, they say, well, he's unfit for the White House. How do you know? Okay? Then I've heard people say, well, there's something about him, but I just don't know what it is. The mouth. Am I being radical?
No.
Can I say something to you? I believe CNN, MSNBC, ABC, CBS, Deep State. I believe that there are mind control techniques being implemented. I believe that there's hypnosis being implemented. And many of the believers are sitting there with the stare in the gaze. And don't have a clue what the enemy is doing. How many of you know that God will use an evil leader? How many of you know that God will use an evil woman or evil king to fulfill his purpose and even his assignments for the United States of America? I believe that Donald Trump is God's purpose man with a purpose for this hour. He restored the embassy back to Jerusalem. He restored our relationship with Israel when Obama tore it down. He rebuilt the United States military when Obama tore it down. I believe 2020, the Jeremiah prophets are going to come on the scene, and they're not going to be afraid to speak. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Let's look at verse 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11. Talking about the Old Testament. Yes, we're on a new covenant. The book of Hebrews says so. But the Bible tells us something about the Old Testament. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11 says, "Now these things befell them by way of a figure or an example and a warning to us. They were written to admonish and fit us for right action by good instruction, that we are in whose days the ages have reached their climax, their consummation, and their concluding periods." In other words, everything that befell them in the Old Testament is for our modern day example, our modern day warnings, our modern day instruction, our modern day cautions. Everything Gideon did, everything Samson did, what happened to him, these things are for our caution. These things are for our instruction. These things are for our example and for what? Our warnings. Now, I'm going to share something with you. The reason I gave you that scripture, because I'm going to take you into the Old Testament and let you know that God did use evil kings to fulfill his purposes for the nation of Israel. Amen. Turn to 2 Kings chapter 14. 2 Kings chapter 14. Is everybody all right? It's real quiet here. Everybody okay?
Okay.
Everybody stretch like this. Okay. Let me wake you up before I get back to the teaching. Why is it that Donald Trump does not wear glasses? Why is it that Donald Trump does not wear eyeglasses? You know why? Because he got 20/20. You got it. You got it. You got it. You got 20/20.
Amen.
All right. Let's look at the Lord. You know, you can have fun in the Lord. Come on, saints of God. Come on, when you was in the nightclub, the roof is on fire. Why can't you come in the house of the Lord and let the roof be on fire? All right, 2 Kings. Let's look at 2 Kings chapter 14. Let's look at verse 23 and 24. Everybody ready? Verse 24 says, "He did evil in the sight of the Lord. He did not depart from all the sins of Jeroboam 1, the son of Nebat, with which he made Israel to sin." Okay? Now, if you look, correction, please forgive me. Go back to verse 23. Let's go back to verse 23. "In the 15th year of Amaziah, son of Joash, king of Judah, Jeroboam the second, son of Joash, king of Israel, began to reign in Samaria, and he reigned for what? 41 years. Now look at verse 24 real closely about Jeroboam, King Jeroboam the second. He did evil in the sight of the Lord. He did evil in the sight of the Lord. In other words, he did not depart from the sins of Jeroboam 1, the son of Nebat, with which he made Israel to sin. Look at verse 25. Jeroboam restored Israel's border from the entrance of the Math to the Dead Sea of the Araba, according to the word of the Lord, the God of Israel, which he spoke through his servant Jonah, son of Abatai, the prophet from Gath Hepher. Look at verse 26. For the Lord saw his very bitter the affliction of Israel. There was no one left, bond or free, nor any helper for Israel. Now look at verse 27. But the Lord had not said that he would blot out the name of Israel from under the heavens. So he saved them by the hand of Jeroboam the second. He saved them by the hand of Jeroboam the second. He saved the nation of Israel by the hand of Jeroboam the second. Now look at what the scripture says again. In verse 24, Jeroboam the second was a king. He did evil in the sight of the Lord. In other words, he was an evil man. He was bound by generational iniquity. He was a rebellious man. He was a man totally out of the character of God, or out of godly character. But the Bible says something very powerful, that in verse 27, it said, God saved the nation of Israel by the hand of Jeroboam the second. How many of you are with me here? How many of you are with me here, saint? God can use an evil king, God can use an evil man or an evil woman to fulfill his destiny or fulfill his purposes and later judge that man or that woman at a later time. Oh, but he has the women. Oh, he's abusive to women. How do you know that God is not going to work in that man? How do you know that God is crucifying the old nature in that man? How do you know that there's about to be a baptism of the Holy Spirit fire that's about to come upon that man? How do you know? No, because you're not spending time with the Lord. God, who is this man? Who is this man? All right, look what it says. Jeroboam the 2, ruling king, he restored Israel's borders. He restored Damascus and Hamath. God used a man that people call evil to fulfill his purposes and his destiny. Now, this is just as plain as day, saints. God don't use evil people. Read the Bible. Turn to the book of Habakkuk. The book of Habakkuk. Let's look at chapter 1. Okay. The book of Habakkuk. Let's look at chapter 1. Let's look at verse 6 through 12. The book of Habakkuk, chapter 1, verse 6 and 12. Look around you, Habakkuk, replied the Lord, among the nations and see, and be astonished. For I am putting into effect a work in your day such that you would not believe if it was told you. And I believe that's what's about to happen to America. God is going to do a work. If somebody told you the type of work that he was about to do, you would not believe it. I believe that there's a work that's about to birth forth, that's about to bubble forth, that's about to bust forth in this nation that's going to be unprecedented than even many of the old revivals of the old time. I believe that this nation is going through a purging at this time. I believe this nation is in a delay at this time. Come on, saints. You have not seen nothing yet. All right, look what it says in verse 16. For behold, I am rousing up the Chaldeans, that bitter, impetuous nation, who march through the breadth of the earth to take possession of dwelling places that do not belong to them. So God is raising up the Chaldeans. That text means the Babylonians. He called them a bitter and impetuous nation. Look at verse 7. The Chaldeans are terrible and they're dreadful. Their justice and dignity proceed only from themselves. Look at this, is a wicked nation. How many of you see that right there? This is an evil nation. Let's move down to verse 9. They all come for violence. Their faces turn eagerly forward and they gather prisoners together like sand. Verse 10, they scoff at kings. They have no respect for leaders. They scoff at them. And rulers are a derision to them. They ridicule every stronghold. They heap up dust for earth and mounds take it. Look at verse 11. Then they sweep by like a wind and pass on. They load themselves with guilt as do all men whose own power is in their God. Now verse 12 says, are not you from everlasting, O Lord my God, my Holy One? We shall not die, O Lord. You have appointed the Chaldeans. You have appointed the Babylonians to execute your judgment. God used the Babylonians, the Chaldeans, to do what? Execute judgment. Someone told me recently, say, Trump has a harsh mouth. I said, brother, after what Obama has done to this nation, we need somebody with a harsh mouth, with a rough mouth, to bring this nation back in alignment.
Amen.
So we see here that God can use, he can use, and not only an evil man or woman to fulfill his purpose, his destiny, but God can also use an evil nation, a violent nation, to fulfill his plan. I do not believe that we are to glory in Trump. I do not believe that we are to glory in a man. No, 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 no. If we're going to glory, let us glory in who? In Jesus Christ. How many of you are with me here? Turn to John chapter 5, verse 41. St. John chapter 5, verse 41. St. John chapter 5, verse 41. I receive not glory from men. I crave no human honor. I look for no what? Mortal fame. Jesus did not receive glory from men. What do we see in many ministries today? I'm the pastor. My name is Pastor Jack Frost. I'm from the First Church of the Deep. And all of you are the frozen chosen. Icicles, popsicles, and honey drippers. Look at St. John chapter 12. If that's your get. St. John chapter 12, let's look at verses 41 through 43. Correction, let's look at verse 43, human error. Look at verse 43 of St. John 12. For they love the approval and praise and the glory that comes from men instead of more than the glory that comes from God. They value their credit with men more than their credit with who? With God. How many of you know we're not the glory of men? How many of you, let me say that again. How many of you know that we're not the glory in men? Amen? Amen? All right, let's keep moving here. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Let's look at verse 21. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Let's look at verse 21. And I bless you again. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Look at verse 21. I love this verse right here at verse 21. It says, so let no one exalt pride concerning men, boasting of having this or that man as a leader. Boasting of having this or that man as a what? As a leader. For all things, what? Are yours. We are not to glory in a man, but we are to do what? Honor the work that God is doing in them. Now, let me say something to you. I went back and I composed a list of things, and I want the body of Christ to hear this. Some of the accomplishments that Donald Trump has done more than any in the history of America and more than any president that ever existed in this nation. Listen to this. Over 4 million jobs since the Trump election. 4 million. More Americans are employed than ever recorded in history. Manufacturing jobs are growing at a faster rate than in decades. Unemployment claims hit a 49-year low. African Americans, Hispanic unemployment is the lowest rate ever recorded. Hear me out, saints of God. Several million Americans have been lifted off of food stamps. All right? Here's one that I love. He gave an executive order to Muhammad Ali to pardon him for not going to Vietnam. He gave an executive order to the boxer by the name of Jack Johnson. I don't know if many of you were living at, many of you remember that time. Jack Johnson was pardoned. He was a boxer. Because he went and married an Australian woman, and he was a black man. Trump gave an executive order to even pardon that man. All right, black colleges and universities under Trump's presidency have received millions of dollars to help the schools. But you don't hear that on CNN, MSNBC, ABC, CBS. You don't hear that on deep state media.
This is the end of part A. Please play part B. Thank you. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.